And so excited here to continue our series in Luke chapter 2. As you'll see right here in Luke chapter 2, the beginning portion, we see that Jesus Christ is born, right? He is shown up. He is here. And then we see what happens after that, what takes place after his arrival. And, you know, just verse 7 there of Luke chapter 2, it always strikes me, right, that the King of the world, Savior of the world, man, is in some makeshift clothes and is lying in a feeding trough. That's what a manger is, man. He's in a feeding trough because Mary and Joseph, man, there wasn't any room for them in the inn for him to be. And then we see, starting in verse 8, what takes place after this. And so if you're there in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, let me know that you're there by saying there. And we'll read through verse 20 together. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, the verses will be on the screen. You can follow along there. But this is what the Word of the Lord says. It says this. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Man, imagine being a shepherd in that moment, just tending the sheep. An angel shows up, and then a heavenly host of angels, many angels show up and start praising this Christ child. I'd be a little shook up too, wouldn't you? Man, crazy sight. Verse 15. Says this, "When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them." I've entitled the message today simply this: He has come. The King has arrived. King has arrived. He has come. Why don't we pray one more time together? Lord God, we love you. We thank you, God, so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. I just pray now, Lord, that you would speak to your people, Lord. Have your way today. Lord, I pray that you'd meet us where we are, Lord, as we focus on, right, celebrating the fact that you have indeed come, Lord, and that you're coming again one day. God, I pray that we would choose to be folks that celebrate that reality. Lord, meet with us now. Lord, have your way. And we ask these things all in your gracious and heavenly name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Before we jump in, I just want to say I'm pumped to be back, man, meeting this morning. Obviously, last week, because of the tornado, we weren't able to have church together here. But I am pumped to be back, man, this corporate body here at Tylertown. And so let me just go ahead and let you know, if I get a little fired up, get a little carried away, don't mind me. I'm just, hey, just glad to be back. Amen. And so with that being said, Luke chapter 2, he has come. He has come. I remember just the other day I went to a Christmas party at a family group, one of our family groups here in town, and here at the church, and went there, and we got on the discussion about the Christmas traditions that our family were a part of, and things that we look forward to most during Christmas. And it got to my turn to share, and I had shared about how I always loved when my cousins came, my cousin Alex and his sister Olivia, because Alex, he was about 2 years younger than me, and he was basically like a brother. I didn't grow up with any brothers, just sisters. And so, man, it was always great when he came, because, man, we could do bro things. Like, man, stay up and play video games till real late. You know, go outside and play basketball, you know, and just hang out. And I remember, you know, whenever I would hear, because it varied based on the year when he'd come, I remember when my mom would tell me the times when he was planning on coming. Right, and I remember anticipation, man, welled up in my soul. I couldn't wait for him to get there. Couldn't wait for him to come. And I remember whenever, you know, that door would ring, when they would, you know, their expected time, right, when they come. Usually it was a little later, Sister Melanie. You know, they tell us one time it was usually a little later, several hours later. They love showing up late. But whenever they finally got there, right, the anticipation, right, it turned real quick into excitement. Because who I had waited for had finally gotten there. Who I had waited for, who I had heard was coming, man, was finally there. And we were going to have a good time, man, celebrating, man, and having and hanging out, man, as family. Well, in a much greater way, here in the text, we see, right, the promised one, the one who the Jews waited for. The one who the Jews, man, had heard who was coming, the promised Messiah, he had finally showed up. He had been born in a little town of Bethlehem. Now, he didn't show up the way that folks thought he was going to show up. As we see, right, we find him in verse 7 as a little baby wrapped up in some, you know, dingy clothes, swaddling clothes, man, and he's lying down in a feeding trough. Right in this little no-name town in Israel. But he has shown up. And we see, right, what takes place after the responses of the people in light of him coming, in light of his arrival. And the responses for us ought to choose to be the same thing, man. This Christmas season, because Jesus Christ has come, right, and because he's coming again, man, Christmas ought to be more than just a season, man, where we give gifts, drink a little eggnog, watch a little football, and call it a day. Hey, it ought to be more than just a time where we're stressed out about family and having to perform and put on for family, so on and so forth. It ought to be more than just a time like that. Man, Christmas ought to be a time of rejoicing. Man, because the King who was promised has come. He has come. He's come. I want to highlight this morning, based on what we see here in the text, three realities, right, of his coming. The angels in verse 10, right, say that his coming, Jesus' arrival, they called it good news. The angel called it good news. And I want to highlight, right, three realities about this good news that not just applies to people that we see here in Luke chapter 2, but also applies to us in our life. First, reality that we see here in the text pertaining to this good news is this. Take notice here of the recipients of the good news. In verse 8 and 9, it speaks to that reality there. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. In the context here, man, these shepherds are minding their own business. They are doing their job. And the angel of the Lord shows up, man, and provides to them this good news that this Jesus had been born. You may think, well, Pastor Irv, yeah, duh, that's part of the Christmas story. I've heard that many a times, man. You know that, hey, I get that. I understand that. So what? Well, you've got to do a little more digging to understand the significance of this. See, it didn't make any sense that the angel of the Lord, man, would show up to these shepherds in that moment. It didn't make any sense that the shepherds would be the first ones, man, to hear about the good news of Jesus' arrival. It didn't make any sense. Why? Because shepherds, man, similar to Mary, man, were known, man, as lowly people. The dregs of society, man. Hey, they were the ones, man, that were looked down upon. The ones that, hey, the folks at the workplace, you know, workplace gossip about and say, well, see, hey, that's why I went to school, because I didn't have to do that. Hey, that's, hey, they're that family, man, that does, hey, they work and do that job. Look down upon, dregs of society. Matter of fact, many scholars say that these shepherds, hey, they couldn't even worship at the temple because of their job. Because, man, they did a dirty work. Cleaning up sheep, picking up poop. Man, doing all kinds of, you know, filthy stuff. Hey, the lowest of the low. Yet the angel showed up to them first with the message that Jesus had been born. Oh, man, aren't you glad today that the good news that Jesus Christ had come, hey, came to you and to me. Because whether you want to believe it or not, church, we identify more with the shepherds than we do the religious elite. We do. You say, Pastor Irv, how so? Man, I've grown up in church, been in church my whole life, know all the Christmas songs, know all the worship songs. Well, the reality is, the Bible says, hey, in spite of knowing all those things, before you came to Jesus, you were broken up, beat up, far from Him. Bible tells us that we were enemies of God, far off from Him, dirty. Even if we, hey, put on the right garb, the reality is, hey, we're still far from Him. But the news came to us, man, and we received it when we placed our faith and trust in Christ, and we were saved. Man, the news of the gospel came to us. Man, and aren't you glad for that today, man? That in our brokenness, man, the news came to us just like it came to the shepherds. Romans 5, 6 through 8 says it like this. For while we were still weak at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly, all of us. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God showed His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Man, hey, the news of the gospel, man, it came to us. May we never forget that. Hey, it's so easy, and like I said, I'm talking to myself. Talking to myself. You know, Brother Cliff, I just finished, you know, my last seminar, Lord willing, my last seminar, you know, and my doctorate seminary, you know, deal. I'm close to getting the doctorate degree. I fall victim to thinking, man, I got to a point where I've gotten to a point where it's like sometimes, man, I think I deserve to be saved. Because, man, hey, look how God is using me. Man, I deserve to be where I'm at. Hey, be careful. Man, not to fall victim to that reality. Doesn't matter if you've grown up in church your whole life. Doesn't matter if you know all the church songs. The reality is, hey, before you came to faith in Christ, you were far off from Him. And for us, right, the response ought to be, man, is to choose to be thankful that the news that Jesus came and died for us, it came to us. And choose to ponder and reflect on that. We'll talk more about that here in a second. Man, the recipients of the good news, the first folks that heard the news that Jesus was born were these lowly shepherds. Man, and I'm thankful that the news, man, came to me, a lowly sinner. We see the recipients of the good news. Secondly, right, second reality, just right here in the text, make sure you know I'm not making it up. Not only do we see the recipients of the good news, take notice to the contents of the good news. Look at what the angel did. The angel just didn't show up and just show his glory and say, hey, look at me. No, he had a message to share. He had a message to share. Look what it says in the text. So the angel appeared to them. Man, the shepherds were filled with great fear. And then verse 10, the angel said to them, fear not. Hey, don't fear. For look, behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And then he shares with them the sign, man, whenever they go and see him and what to look for. We see the contents of the good news. Man, the angel shared, right, the specifics of what this good news was. We see that the angel defined the good news. He shared with them, hey, here's what I'm coming to declare to you today, that this baby that was born in Bethlehem, his name is Jesus the Christ, the Savior of the world. He's going to be called Lord and Savior, man. He is there. In the angel's description there, he shares, right, what the gospel is. And in the same way, church, we've got to truly understand what the gospel is. Got to understand it. The gospel, man, it's not right you doing the best that you can, man, for God, and Him hoping to give you a high five at the end of it. Hey, the gospel is not, hey, doing some charitable deeds, man, for God's sake. Or the gospel is not just simply coming to church and being a good church member, or being a good family man, or being a good family woman. No, the gospel message is that, man, we're born sinners. Man, far away from God, man, broken up, beat up. And God in His love saw us and didn't leave us in this place, but sent His Son Jesus, this baby that we're talking about, to live the perfect life we couldn't live because we missed the mark. To choose to lay His life down on Calvary's cross some 30 odd years later, after this moment, and raised from the grave, said whoever believes in Him, whoever receives Him, will have everlasting life. That is, man, the good news. Do you know it? Do you know it? The angel was real specific, right, in sharing about how this baby was going to be the one, right, who was the one that was going to liberate, man, the world. He was the promised Messiah that was promised to come, man, and to set the captives free, just not in the way that they thought. Right? He was specific because He used the term Christ there. Right? Jesus, the Christ. You know, I didn't learn this till later on. You know, it's probably in college, maybe even later, when I learned, hey, Christ, it wasn't just Jesus' last name. You know, some folks say, oh, Jesus Christ, oh man, you know, it's Jesus' last name. No, there's significance to that word Christ. And it literally means the anointed one, right? The one who was promised to come and fulfill, man, what God had promised long before His coming. And He was going to fulfill. And the angel made sure, right, that the shepherds knew, hey, this baby was special. Right? He also used the term Savior, which again speaks to how this Christ was going to liberate, man, not just the Jewish people, but all people from spiritual captivity. And then He also uses the term Lord to speak to, man, His stature and His calling at the end of the day. Right? Jesus is more than, right, just some baby. You know, I know Ricky Bobby and Talladega Nights may talk about wanting to pray to baby Jesus. Hey, Jesus is more than just some baby. We see Him as an innocent, helpless babe here. More than that. He's Lord. That sovereign ruler is what the original language speaks to there. In control. Kyrios is the word there. Who rules and reigns, man. He ruled and reigned while He lived on earth, but also He's coming back to rule and reign forever. That's this child. And the angel made sure to be specific, man, in the definition, man, of who this Jesus was and what this good news was about. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? We see the good news defined, but also we see the good news described. Described there. Verse 10, go back to it. And it says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. This gospel, right, this good news of Jesus coming, hey, it's not just for, man, those who are up and out. It's not just for the church member. It's not just for, man, those that that have been blessed. Man, it's for all people. For all people. That's what the angel says there. It's for everyone. And I'm thankful for that. Hey, be careful, church. It's easy. Hey, it's easy to cognitively, man, believe that, yeah, man, this gospel message is for everybody. But by the way you live, you preach something totally different. Hey, be careful not to allow for your life, man, to preach something different in terms of this message of the gospel being for all people. Be careful not to, hey, choose to willfully, man, neglect when the Lord puts on your heart to share with somebody that may not look like you, that may not be from the same, you know, area as yours or same season of life as you. Be careful not to neglect sharing the good news with them. Because the gospel message is, man, for all. It's for all. For any who's willing to come and receive him. Man, we see the contents of the good news, man, talked about here. The good news defined and the good news described. Then thirdly and lastly, and I'm through, we see here not just the recipients, not just the contents, but thirdly we see the response to the good news here in the text. Go back to it. Look what it says. Verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And so they went with haste, which, by the way, right, haste, it speaks to their quick obedience, right, to the Lord, right? It doesn't mean that they were world-class sprinters. They left quickly in haste. No, they left in obedience to the Lord and made their journey over to Bethlehem. And it says that they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they heard and seen, as it had been told them. The response to the good news. We see here three different responses that ought to be true in our life, right? Pertaining to, man, what Christmas is all about, pertaining to this good news that we have received at one point or another in our life. The response to the good news. The first response, man, to us receiving this good news ought to be to choose to preach it to others. We see these shepherds. That's what they did. They went with haste. They got to Bethlehem. They saw that baby, right? They saw exactly what the angel shared. And it said, man, that they told Mary and Joseph and those that were around, man, all that the angels had told them. They couldn't help but to preach it. And here's what I find pretty crazy, Brother Rob. It's not like these shepherds, man, were learned folk. They didn't have any kind of education. Like I said, they were the lowest of the low. They probably struggled, man, to put together, man, sentences. They were not known to be intelligent folks, but, man, hey, they just shared what they experienced, man, and what they heard with those that were around. And they couldn't help but to do it. They were so pumped up at what they saw, they couldn't help but to share. Oh, that we would choose to have that same type of faith, man, whenever it comes, man, to the message of the gospel. Oh, that we would choose, man, bless God, to get out of our dignified boxes, to get out of our, oh, man, what are they going to think if I tell them about Jesus boxes? Man, and when God puts it on our heart, man, we would just, man, step in and choose to share with them. You don't need any kind of crazy method in sharing, man. Share what God has done in your life, man. How this Jesus came and died for them, and how you can receive him if you place your faith and trust in him. Man, as the Lord leads, man, as we walk with him, may we choose to be folks that preach the good news to those that were around. I loved, you know, this past week, as we talked about, us being able to give to those that were in need, having this disaster relief center, you know, opened up during the week. I loved, you know, obviously folks being able to have their physical needs met and our people giving to those that were in need. But also, man, I loved the times where folks were compelled, man, by the Lord to be able to share the gospel with those folks and how conversations were taking place in the parking lot. Folks that had lost everything. Right, we give them some clothes, give them a couple gift cards, man, but they're still broken, hopeless. And, man, folks stepping in, compelled to the Lord, saying, you know what? I don't know really what to say right now, but I can tell you about one whom I've met, man, that's provided hope for my soul, that could provide hope for your soul, too. And the ministry of being able to share, man, the good news with those that are around. So many need to hear it. And I pray that we'd be compelled to share with those that are around us. Mark 16:15 says it like this. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. This is Jesus talking to the disciples there, man, to preach and the good news, man. Hey, when's the last time you've shared the gospel with someone. I'm not asking this question because, I'm here to share that God is, man, making a tally of how many times you've done it or haven't done it in the last week, month, or year. That's not why, right, we're folks that live as ministers of reconciliation. We're not doing it just to pat ourselves on the back or make a tally mark, right, on how often we've done it so we can get a quote-unquote gold star in heaven one day. No, we do it because, man, we love people. And we want to see them, right, experience the hope, the gospel that only Jesus can bring. And so when's the last time you shared? And my hope and prayer is that this Christmas season, right, we would step in, man, and share the good news with others. Response to the good news, firstly, is to preach it. Secondly, right, we see the response here, not from the shepherds, but actually from Mary. The second response ought to be to choose to ponder on it. Go back to the text. It says, man, folks around are wondering, hey, what are these shepherds talking about? What are they saying? But it says that Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Mary here was reflecting right on all that the Lord had told her. Remember in Luke chapter 1, we looked at it, man. You remember the angel of the Lord met with Mary? Said, hey, you're going to birth this Christ child. It gets confirmed, right, with her going to visit Auntie Elizabeth. She births the Christ child. The shepherds come and affirm again, hey, this is the Christ child. And we see her pondering and reflecting. You may say, what is she reflecting on? I believe, man, she's reflecting on, man, the goodness and the favor of God in her life. How the Lord would choose a little old girl like her from Nazareth, a little old country podunk town, man, to take part in birthing the Savior of the world. I believe she's reflecting on how the Lord, you know, protected her in light of all of her potential insecurities. Remember, I think I talked about, I don't know if we didn't meet last week, but if you didn't know, I mean, hey, adultery, man, you could be subject to death by stoning. And Mary having to tell Joseph, hey, I'm pregnant with child. By the way, he's going to be the Savior of the world. By the way, I know we hadn't had relations, but here we are. Joseph could have easily, man, gotten somebody to stone her. But she's reflected on how the Lord, man, protected her. And how the Lord had brought them to this point. Man, she pondered. And on this news, man, of how good the Lord was. And in the same way, listen, we ought to be folks that choose, man, to make this an active part of our life. Can I just go ahead and be honest with you? Some of us in here, I think I've said it before, but I'll say it again. So, hey, some of us in here, it's been a long time since we've been able to worship. Truly worship, not just sing songs, truly worship. Man, because we've neglected, man, choosing to ponder and reflect on all that God has done in our life. Ponder and reflect on, man, His goodness in our life. Some of you guys, man, are living in a constant state of pessimism and woe is me. Yes, I get it. Life is difficult. It's hard. But bless God, Jesus is alive and well, and He's been good to us. Reflect, man, on His goodness. His faithfulness, and hey, that enables us, man, to choose to be able to praise and worship Him, man, in every season. And make that in a part of your life. Again, I'm not just preaching this and saying do as I say, not as I do. You know, this has been a real thing for me in my life this week. It's been a tumultuous last, really, 10 days. You know, for everybody, but I mean, myself included. Thursday, last week, man, credit card got compromised with the Amazon hack. I never leave my credit card stuff online, and I forgot to take it off for like a day. I think I bought something, forgot to take it off, got hacked, man, had to deal with all that, didn't have a credit card for a while. Then Saturday, you know, tornado comes. I was down in Sango area, watching a game, fourth and fifth grade basketball game there at one of the pastors, one of his kids at Sango. Tornado comes. I get a little, you know, deal. Hey, I Lost electricity, get a little text message there, but didn't think anything of it. Then got a call from my next door neighbor. She said, "Hey, anybody call you?" I said, "No, what's up?" "Oh, it's bad." I said, "Really?" "Yeah." House was a direct hit. Four homes in the general area, Brother Cliff. It's crazy. Four, every other home, man, not a single loss, but there's four homes, including my house. Total loss, so having to deal with all that. Then we had disaster relief, you know, work all week. Man, which has been such a blessing, man, giving hope to folks in need. But, man, just being real, it's a lot, man. It's draining, man, being able to step in and serve folks that lost everything. And then all of that, you know, wanting to be one that complains, you know. Make a space for myself to complain. Hey, you know, this is a perfect time for me just to be able to complain and cry out to God. Man, God, hey, man, why me? I'm trying my best to live for you, God. My bad. Maybe, okay, I'm sorry, you know, I shouldn't have said that or shouldn't have did that, you know, complaining, woe is me, all this. But in the midst of that, the Lord has been teaching me how to learn, man, how to ponder, man, on His goodness in light of all that's been going on. Like Brother Lou, I mean, decided to go to Sango and watch this basketball game, fourth and fifth grade basketball game, almost decided not to go because, let's be real, Brother Adam, it's fourth and fifth grade basketball. It's not the prettiest basketball in the world. Let's just be real. But decided to go, you know, and watch the game. Get, you know, aftermath of things, get to the house, man. There's a 2x4, man, lodged, you know, pierced into the house where my room was. I mean, who knows what could happen there, man. Lord protect me. Looking out there. Think of, man, hey, how the Lord, man, has provided, man, taking care of me beyond measure. Folks, man, buy me all kinds of stuff. I probably put on 10 pounds with all this stuff, man, all this stuff I've been eating this week. Thanks for folks, man, providing and giving. The Lord is teaching me how to learn, man, how to ponder on all that He's done, man. And when we do that, it enables us to, man, to be able to praise Him in every season of life. Be able to live a life, man, that we can declare it as well. Man, because He never changes, man. May we choose to be folks that learn how to ponder and reflect on His goodness in our life, no matter what comes up. Psalm 77, 11 through 14 says this, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O Lord, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples." Man, may we choose to ponder and reflect on His goodness and His grace. Ponder and reflect on, man, the fact that we're His child, man, that we're His and His forever. Man, He's never going to let us go. No matter what junk we might get ourselves into, man, ponder and reflect on the fact that He has been beyond gracious to all of us in this room. And, man, that leads us to the last point here, right? Response to the good news, man. It's number one, to choose to preach, choose to ponder, and then thirdly, choose to praise. It says this, that the shepherds, they returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they heard and seen, as it had been told them. Shepherds saw, man, what the angel had told them, and they responded in choosing to glorify and praise the Lord. Brother Frank, they were going back to their sheepfold and going to do their same old, dirty, dusty job the next day. You know, that wouldn't change. It's not like they saw the Christ child and all of a sudden, man, hey, they were high up in the hierarchy, in the Jewish, you know, structure of the day. Man, they were going back to their same, man, difficult job, going to be looked at the same. But they couldn't help but to praise because, man, they had seen the one who was coming to save them. Hey, our response, man, ought to be, whenever we come into the house of the Lord, our response, man, whenever, man, we're in the Lord, spending time with the Lord in His Word and in prayer, man, our response ought to be praise. Man, the Lord ought to put a song, man, in our heart, man, to sing, to give glory and honor to Him. You say, "Pastor Irv, I can't sing." It's all right. You can make a joyful noise, though. It may not be joyful to your neighbor, but it's joyful to the Lord. You can sing. Man, sing. Man, praise. We have a reason to praise. Man, because, man, Jesus has come. Because He's come. Luke 1, 46 and 47. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." May we choose to praise. Man, He is here. Jesus has come. Man, we know we're on this side, right, of it. Man, He came, lived the perfect life we couldn't live, died on a cross, rose from the grave. He's now at the right hand of the Father. That's what Christmas is all about, man. Christmas is all about. But we can wait in eager anticipation of the fact that He's coming once again. But until then, man, hey, man, let's choose to be folks that are thankful that the gospel came to us. Let's be folks that choose, man, to understand what the gospel message is, what the good news message is, and share it with others. And may we be folks that ponder and reflect on and how good He's been to us. Because it's in doing that that we're able to worship Him, even though a tornado blew through the north part of Clarksville. It's through that we're able to worship Him, even though, man, Christmas we know is going to be real stressful and family's going to act a fool. We can still choose to praise Him. Man, He's here.